evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our show. Tonight, our guests will be our King Nebuchadnezzar and three of his amazing death-defying subjects, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now let's hear for our host, David Lumberman.
Hey, how is everyone tonight? We have a great show here, perhaps one of our best. So let's get started. Everyone give a hand to our King Nebuchadnezzar.
My pleasure. Welcome here to the story. Without worries.
Hold on, King. We'll get to that story soon. But first, let's invite our other three guests, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here, 1, 2, 3, 4. Wonderful, all four guests are here. So, the first question goes to our King. How did this whole amazing event get started?
Well, it started about 3 weeks ago. I built a major gold, which is a
Hold on, you said 9 feet tall. Wow, that's tall. Sorry, go on.
Well, as I said, I built a major gold, and then I made the middle lap. I made the lap that I didn't. That ends up here is the sound of the trumpets, flutes, and pipes. We bow down to the image, glass, and gold, and the fire place.
The Shadrach, what happened next?
Well, sure enough, we heard the sounds of the horns, flutes, and harps, but my friends and I refused to bow down to the image.
Boo!
I know, that's why I have to bring this heat up 7 times, Shadrach.
7 times hot? You said 7. Wow, if it were that hot, you wouldn't be able to open the furnace door without being burnt into a crisp.
In fact, the servants at Durastain were burnt up and died.
Get out of town. So what happened to the three of you?
The first one bound up and turned to the fire. And no matter how hot the fire was, we still knew what was going on the
Then I saw an amazing thing. Instead of 3 people in the fire, I saw 4.
4 people? You said 4. How could you see 4 people if you threw 3 men into the fire?
We were not alone, as Abednego said. We knew our God would be with us according to obedience to his word.
What do you mean, because of your obedience?
Only God is worthy of our praise and worship. It would be wrong to worship anyone or anything else, even though we could have died in this matter.
So you didn't die, did you?
Well, no. How else could we be here right now? The next thing we heard was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, and so we did.
Now our hair on our heads was chained. We didn't even smell like smoke after we came out.
It was truly amazing. Then I made a new law that anybody that speaks against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be killed, because there is no other God that could save people like that.
Well, we are run out of time for tonight. I truly thank our 4 amazing guests for this wonderful story. As we found out, there's only the number one rule. It is a really important number, because as we found out, there is only one God, and we must worship him only. Good night.
And that concludes our show tonight. Be sure to join us tomorrow for the David Lumberman Show.
Coming King, to the great I am, to you I sing, the one who reigns within my sight. And I will serve no foreign gods, nor any other treasure. You are my heart's desire, Spirit without measure, and to your name I will raise my sacrifice. Unto your name I will. will raise my sacrifice. I lift my hands to the coming King, to the great I Am, to you I sing, the one who reigns within my heart. And I will serve no foreign gods, nor any other treasure. You are my heart's desire, spirit without measure. Unto your name I will raise my sacrifice. Unto your name I will raise my sacrifice.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for such a nice play. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we ask our brother Jose if he's ready. Amen.
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 God bless you, saints. Happy to stand before you this morning again, yeah, to give a short testimony. So I'm sure most of you knew that about 2 weeks ago I finished my work experience with the company I was working for, and I'm back to DCU. So it has been quite challenging for me to do that job, but also it was about 2 years ago when I decided to go to DCU, one of the lecturers told us that you people who decided to be doing the course that I'm doing here made a choice to go through what you'll be going, because it is one of the most difficult course that you can do, but because it's your choice, you also have an opportunity that many people don't have within the university, because once you go through your 3 or 4 years, some of the people here in the university will be thinking, okay, what's the next step after I graduate from here? I go to UK, I go to Canada, I go to Australia looking for a job or not, but you people seated here, you don't have to go through all that pain, because companies will be coming looking for you here. So to me, it sounded like a joke. I just say, okay, anyway, anyone can say that, because if they say after this module or after this course you won't get a job, no one will do that course anyway. So it's good to encourage people to enroll for a course. Then they also have career service where they help, and they send us email almost every fortnight or so, asking people to come to keep their CVs up to date and update them with the new skills and all that. And because it's a regular email that comes throughout the year anyway. So, and to me it was a little bit annoying until one day I decided, okay, let me go and see what they can, if they can help me to update my CV as well. So I brought them my CV, I showed them the CV. I told the lady, okay, can you look at my CV and see how can I improve it? And I was still in second year, and she looked at my CV, she looked at the programming languages. I said, she asked me, can you program in Java and C++? I said, yes, I can. And she said, then you are employable. I just smiled a little bit, and she looked at me again, and she said, you are employable.
Amen.
Okay, I said, thank you, okay, that's fine. So she told me what I needed to change on my CV, which I did. Then I went on my internship. Just 1 week before I finished my internship, they called me for an interview, which I did, and they told us, most of us, we were quite a lot of us who went for the interview. They told us they will come back to us before we finish the internship. And a few days after that, I finished. no email. On my last day at that work, I sent them an email telling them, okay, today is my last day here. I'm not going to have access to my work email anymore. So this is my new email. If you want to get back in, if you want to get in touch with me, send me an email to this email. So to me, it wasn't really the email, the new email that I wanted to give them, but I was saying to them, look, you say that you're going to come back to us before we finish, and today is the last day, and we still haven't heard from you. What's the story? So that was actually the message behind my email. And I left, the day ended without anything from them. And 1 week on, nothing from them. I sent them another email to say, okay, it's been 1 week now. We still haven't heard from you. And a few days after that, still nothing. I said, okay, well, maybe I haven't been successful, so let me just give up. And then about a day or 2 days after that, I got a call from them saying, me, you have been successful and we're glad to offer you a job. Are you willing to take it? So that was quite amazing for me to see that. I didn't go to this course wondering after I finish, what will I do next? So staying 3, 4, 6 months wondering what next, and should I go to UK, should I go to Australia, or what's next? And but at least I want to thank God, but because I know that after I finish here, I have something to do. So God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so we'll ask our sisters if they are ready to bless us with a song. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but He's there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions and not sure which way to go, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do when you feel you have reached the end. He'll make a way for you. Stand.
Moment that his arms were reaching out.
can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now. Stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel you have reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move.
Sister Angel, if you just remain and just share a testimony quickly, and so then we'll move over to Brother Craig.
God bless you, saints. I try and make it short. I just want to thank the Lord for His faithfulness, and He's been really good to me. I thank Him for another grace He's given me. And last year, I applied for a SUSE grant. It was a full maintenance grant, but it took a year for them to give me a reply, to give me my grant, but then it wasn't the maintenance grant, it was just the fees. So, and they said it was because I had not been resident in the state for the past 3 years. So then I applied again this year, and glory be to God, they granted me a full maintenance grant, even though I'm still not 3 years in the state. And actually, this month has been a really blessed month. Just days after my birthday, I got a message from Italy that I've been granted my Italian passport. And I'm so grateful. The Lord has been always faithful to me. And I just want to give Him all the thanks and all the glory. Thank you. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Yeah, Brother Greg, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
I woke up a few days, some time ago.
Amen. Amen.
With a pain. In the pain in the chest and in my back, it was more like a spine. First thought came to me, it's like that kind of pain, it's different pain. It's those pain kind of make you worried. And the pain in the spine was the kind of strong. When I lift my baby, it just caused me so much pain. I didn't show this. Donna didn't know. To be honest, nobody knew. Only God knew. And I later just tell my brother. And the pain in the chest was like this worry kind of just makes you think kind of, it's serious. Maybe you should go to doctor to check this out. Could be serious. And the pain in the spine was like in the upper spine. And just even was annoying when I was working. Was all the time there and just kind of makes me think when I didn't want to think. Just makes me just like, and this thought came to my head. Go to doctor, check it out, don't leave it that way. But then, it's something kicked in.
Amen.
And lately I was listening this sermon this one brother was preaching. he was saying about one sister in Romania, Sister Christina, and she was crippled, and this brother feels sorry for her, she gave her life to Jesus, and she was saying to him, like, I would like have a husband now, and who will want me like that? So he feels sorry for her, he feels kind of something came down from him, and just, look, I will pray for you. And that story kind of inspired me, because he said, look, sister, I prayed for you, and this is what you have to do now, write it down on the mirror in your bathroom. Thank you, God, for my healing. Thank you, God, for healing my leg. So then it's like, okay. So I didn't write it down on the mirror, but I was saying this not two times. I said three times in a day, morning, afternoon, in the evening. And I said, Lord, as long as it takes, even if it takes 25 years, I know it will happen. So in that story with the girl in Romania, even mother, she kind of put her down, just stop being silly, don't do it. And God healed her. God actually gave her a leg. Amen. And this, I said, no. If God did something for her, for sure he have to do something for me. Amen. So I just said, no. In the morning, I'm in the bathroom, I said, God, thank you for healing my chest and healing my back. Afternoon, when I was at work, I said, Lord, thank you for healing my back and for healing my chest. Evening, when I back from home to home, I said, Lord, thank you for healing my back and healing my chest. I did over and over. I said, no matter how long it takes. And that was for some time, I don't know, 2-3 weeks. I said, Lord, well, as long as it takes. And then I woke up one time, and it's like, it's this time. It's like, yes. I said, Lord, thank you for healing my back and healing my chest, because that pain was different. That makes me worried. So I just want to say again, Lord, thank you for healing my back and pain in my chest. Glory to God. Thanks.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, he's a healer indeed. Let's rise on our feet this morning. Amen. Let's sing the song, You Are Alpha and Omega. Amen. Amen. We worship you. Amen. Let's worship him.
Close our hands. to be. Oh, once more you give him glory. Oh, oh, we'll give you all the glory. Oh, Lord, we bless your name this morning. Oh, we worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, oh, you are worthy to be praised. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, you're worthy to be praised this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's sing that song. Only believe. Only believe. Amen. Only believe. Only believe this morning. And only believe that all things are possible. Oh, all things are possible. Oh, if you will only believe this morning, oh, you believe from your heart. Believe, oh, once more, only believe. Music, let's sing it with our eyes closed and our hands lifted up. Only believe, only believe, only believe that all things, all things are poor. Sing the song, Father of Life. Amen. Father of Life, seated on your throne of grace, it's only by your mercy we are saved. So you
We thank the Lord for every testimony. We thank the Lord for every item. We thank the Lord for our young people. We thank the Lord for every Sunday school teacher. We thank the Lord for everybody who labors faithfully. May the Lord grant an eternal reward. Sister Lily is asking for prayer. She can't make it today. And Sister Rachel would like to thank the Lord for His grace and mercy in helping her to find a house in Blanchardstown after searching for a very long time. May His name be praised forever. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord. Let's read the word before we pray, saints, this morning. Next Saturday evening, we have Brother Crosby. So please keep the meetings in prayer. It's going to be a Saturday evening and Sunday morning. We'll be away in Poland, so we're really asking for prayer as well. Brother Greg and myself with Brother Jacek there. So we'd really appreciate your prayers. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9 and 10. Paul says, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Let's also open up John chapter 15. So Paul is telling us we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Verse 16 of the same chapter. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Let's Father, thank you for your word. Be it unto us according to your word. Father, we've come upon this day to be better equipped in your service. We want to be purged, Father, of that which is not fruitful, that, Father, we may bring forth more excellent fruit that you've ordained us unto. Father, we realize that for us to do your will, you're the one who has to start the work. Father, you're the one that has to work through us. You're the one who knows how to bring forth that which will remain. So bless, Father, your word unto our souls upon this day. Bless your people. I pray for Sister Lily. Lord, bless her. Father, grant her divine fellowship with yourself upon this day. Draw nigh unto her soul. Help her at this time, we pray. We thank you for Sister Rachel, your blessing upon her. We thank you, Lord, for all the testimonies, the healings, the things that you have done. Father, you're good. We thank you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints, this morning. We had a look on Friday at communion service. We looked at the scripture where Paul was speaking about be not weary in well-doing. And he was showing from the scripture, Paul, that if you sow, if you faint not, if you allow the process to be complete, you will always bring forth a harvest. Anything that you sow brings forth a harvest. If you sow drunkenness in your life, you're going to reap a harvest of that. Your family is going to reap the harvest. If you sow unfaithfulness, you know, you're going to reap from what you're sowing. And then Paul brings it around and shows it to us as believers that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So if you're sowing in the Spirit, if you're sowing faithfully in faithful service to the Lord, you know, sometimes it's the unsung heroes that are the ones that, you know, don't really get the reward. And we'll have a look at that today. But the Lord sees all things. You know, no matter what you do, we saw on Friday that even just to give a cup of water in the name of a disciple, you shall not lose your reward. No, so there's certain types of service. And that's why we've read John chapter 15, because the service, the work, the fruits that will remain, those fruits that we shall receive the reward from are fruits of the vine. It's only fruit that comes from you abiding in the vine. You know, so it's from the right source. It's done in the right spirit. It's bringing forth the right fruit. Those fruits, every time you abide in the vine in your calling and you bring forth fruit, that is an eternal fruit. That fruit, you will meet it at the judgment seat of Christ. That fruit is not going to pass away. We saw on Friday, you'll receive a reward in this life. You know, because whenever you do His will, you know, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He'll bless you in this life. He'll give you the earnest now of the fullness of the reward in this life. But the full reward comes in the world to come. And that's what Paul was speaking about in 2 Corinthians when he speaks about we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, so this judgment seat of Christ, it's different than the white throne judgment. Now, the white throne judgment is a judgment unto life. You know, people, it'll be the dividing of the sheep and the goats, depending on whether someone inherits eternal life or whether they go into the second death. That's what happens at the white throne. So this that Paul is speaking about is completely different. This is judgment of them that already possess eternal life. But this is judgment unto reward. This is now when crowns are given. The prophet speaks of it in the sixth seal when he had a dream. Now, Sister Mita had asked him and said, you know, Billy, I know that I'm not jealous, but I know that hope was. So in the resurrection, in the world to come, you know, I mean, who's going to be your wife? And the prophet says, both of you will be, and neither will. And then explains the difference between agape love and filial love, that there's no filial love there. It's only agape love. And then the prophet says, and about a month after that, he said, I had a dream. He says, and I was standing, watching the great time. He says, now, not the judgment. This is in the sixth seal. He says, I don't believe the church ever comes, the bride goes to judgment. But I was there when the crowns were being given out. And the great big throne set up here. And Jesus and the recording angel were standing there. And they were like stair steps coming down this way of white ivory, running down a circle, made a panoramic like this, so that all this great host standing out here could see what was happening. And I would stand back over to one side, and I never had an idea that I had to walk them steps. And that's what I just want you to consider today. You have to walk those steps. I have to walk those steps. Because Paul spoke of it in the scripture saying, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, this is a divine appointment that's been made for each and every one of us. And every single one of us, though you pass from death unto life, because you've received eternal life, but that's not the end of it. Amen. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So the prophet says, I stood back and the recording angel would call a certain name and I would know and recognize that name. And I would see the brother walk up, and then he says, walking with a sister. Walking up, and the recording angel, he says, just a dream now. Look to see if their name was recorded. And if it was found, he would look over and say, it was well done, my good and faithful servant. Now enter in. And I looked back where they were going, and there was a new world and the joys. And said, enter into the joys of the Lord that's been for you since the foundation of the world. And they'd go through meeting one another and just rejoicing and going over the mountains into that great big place. And the recording angel stood there and said, William Branham. My. That's a serious thing to think that your name's going to be called. The same one who called your name to come and serve and worship him. The same one who called your name one day when he called James. And there was power in that call to turn you around from your sin and your trespass. The same one that called your name then, he's going to call your name again. He's going to call now to judge your service. He whose eyes are like flames of fire, yeah? He who can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. He in whose presence no thought can be hidden. But that all things are made manifest before him, with whom we have to do, Paul says. Your name will be called. And you will have to come and stand in his presence. And a judgment will be made of all of the things that you've done in his service. All the things that people didn't see. Every one of those things will be recognized that day. All those things, the times you were on your knees in prayer and you were praying in your secret closet. Jesus says, if you close yourself in the closet and you pray to your Father in secret, there comes a day you'll be rewarded openly. You know, but sometimes we forget about the recompense of the reward. Sometimes we don't realize that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. You know, and if you're sowing in righteousness, if you're sowing in tears, if you're sowing in faithfulness, there comes a day There comes the great day of reckoning. The prophet says the crowning time when all works will be recognized in the presence of him. Says, I never thought I'd have to walk that. So I was scared and I thought, oh my, will I have to do that? So I went walking on down. And there's that feeling at first when you think about the great judgment seat of Christ. You have that feeling inside of yourself to say, but hey, that's not going to be easy in front of all people. The Bible says the thoughts of men's hearts will be made manifest. No, the hidden things, the motive, the purpose and the objective will be hidden. And that's why it's a good thing for us as we serve the Lord, as we labor. It's a good thing for us to remember that principle that there's a certain kind of labor. There's a certain kind of service that comes from a certain attitude, that comes from a certain approach that never fails to please him. And we just want to judge ourselves today because we don't want to have to stand in his presence that day to be judged. No, the wood, hay, and the stubble to be burnt and all those things which we did. Not from the right motive or the right objective. No, the things that we did to be seen of men. Jesus says, you have your reward already. He says, you Pharisees, he says, you stand making long prayers, you know, in public. He says, you have your reward already. Because what was their motive? They wanted people to see what they were doing. They wanted the praise of men. And so that's what you get. You get the praise of men. But when you get there, you don't get any praise. You've already had your reward for that service. Because the aim that you had, the motive, he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. When you give alms, let not your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Because if you give to be seen of men, and men see you and people pat you on the back in this life and they say, oh, you're such a good person, you're so generous. That's your reward already. Because that is what you were seeking for. But there's another type of service. There's that faithful service. When Jesus will say, my good and faithful servant, enter ye into the joys of the Lord. That's the kind of service you want to offer to the Lord. And you can only offer it from abiding in the vine. This has got to be fruit. Fruit that comes forth in that kind of a service that's done in the right spirit. No, you're drawing from the vine. You're drawing the resources. He quickens you. He gives you the gift. He gives you the opportunity. And then there's the certain kind of service that you're serving. You're doing it as if unto the Lord. Amen. And then Jesus says, that's the kind of fruit that my Father is glorified in. That's the kind of fruit that remains. And no matter how much your works will be searched on that day before the judgment seat, when we saw it on Friday, when Paul says, all men's works will be made manifest. It says, no other foundation can any man lay except for that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. But let a man take heed as to what he builds on that foundation. Amen. It says, because that day shall manifest all things. Amen. And that's the day we're speaking about, the judgment seat of Christ. That day will manifest. And he says, every man's works will be tried by fire. Amen. And you will stand in his presence, the presence of eternal truth. You'll stand in the presence of him who is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the real essence of why you did what you did. And the real essence of the things that you did in secret will be made manifest. And that'll be the basis of reward. Or that'll be the basis of the wood, hay, and the stubble. You know, those things that were done, worthless things that we did, unredeemed time that we spent, vain things that we spoke, things that we spoke to be seen of people, things that we did to show ourselves to be something, that'll just disappear. But the gold and the precious stones and the silver, you know, that's something that was done for him. That was done from your soul, like we saw on Friday. That soul service. That soul expression from your soul. Not from your spirit. Not from your flesh. Not from self. Where you were doing it to please self. Or you were doing it so that people would look at you. But that worship and that service that comes from the soul. That's from the vine now. You see, it originates in the soul. It's something that you're doing. It's something that you're offering just for him. It's like when the woman came with the alabaster box. And all the rest of the people, the disciples, were saying this, that, and the other. And Jesus said, leave her alone. She did this work for me. And then he says, wherever this gospel is preached, a memorial. This woman's work will be a memorial whenever the gospel is preached, because she did it for me. And friends, let's not think that our labor is in vain. You know, do it as if unto the Lord. We're not speaking of salvation here. God offers salvation to the sinner, but he offers rewards to us. When you saved, yeah? When you baptized into his body, he now offers you the opportunity of rewards. Now we're speaking of crowns and thrones. Now we're speaking of what you take into eternal life with you. What you're going to meet on that great day. Those things we store up now. We're never going to have another opportunity to do those things. But it's quite an incredible thing. And we as believers, we just think unto the rapture. That's how we think. Paul wasn't like that. He looked beyond the rapture. Because we think if I can just only make the rapture, that's the most wonderful thing. But the rapture is just not only the most important thing. Because what you're going to inherit and what you're going to possess eternally isn't determined by whether you're in the rapture or not. It's determined on what you do now. What you do before the rapture. What works you're going to take with you beyond the rapture. Because the judgment seat of Christ is beyond the rapture. You'll be resurrected, and then once you're resurrected, once you're raised, once you're in glory, you're clothed with immortality, then you go and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ to see what you will be in eternity. What reward, what position. And Jesus speaks of this in so many parables. When he says, you know, to one man was, one of the servants was given 5 talents. And the master went on a long journey. Then after a long time, he came back. And then was a day of reckoning. Yeah? To see what did you do with the talents that I gave to you. And to that servant who had 5 talents and came and said to his master, Master, I've gained another 5. He says, thou good and faithful servant, be thou over 10 cities. My. You know, so the reward, there was something about the test of faithfulness in this life. The test of faithfulness in our service to him now. Which is so much going to be reflected, but in such a great way in the world to come. Amen. It's like a prophet speaks about David and his mighty men. He says, those that were faithful with David, yeah, who were willing to serve when it was tough, living in the forest and in the caves, when there wasn't enough food, and when there were outlaws because he was a rejected king. He says, when David came into power, he put them over cities. Amen. And he says, that's how we should serve our rejected king. And how do you serve him? What can you serve him in? What he puts in your hand now. Because to one was given 5 talents, to another was given only 2. But both of them received great reward. To the one who didn't have such a great opportunity, didn't have such a great maybe calling. I mean, none of us are called to be like the prophet. Yeah? None of us are called to be like Paul. None of us have that high calling like that. But every single one of us is predestined unto certain works. Paul speaks about it in Ephesians. He says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in. So that's all we're going to be judged for on that great day. When we stand before Christ, he's going to judge us for the predestined works that we are ordained to walk in. Those things that he puts in your hand, that opportunity that he gives to you, that calling that he's given to you, that opportunity to do something, to express your love to him. Because like we say, we're not speaking about sin here. You know, we're speaking about people that have already gone beyond sin, that already possesses of eternal life. It's only those who already possess eternal life that will be summoned in the first resurrection. The rapture to come and stand before him to the judgment of rewards. When the prophet says, that's when the crowns and the thrones, that's when those things are given out. And it'll all be determined on our faithfulness. Brother Howard, when he said that, I mentioned it before, I liked what he said. He said, Brother Andrew, God never judges people by their fruitfulness, but by their faithfulness. Amen. Thou good and faithful. Imagine Noah preaching 120 years just to have seven people and himself. But imagine his great reward, because he did exactly what he was ordained to do. He wasn't weary in well-doing. He continued persevering in his calling for 120 years. And friends, there's going to be few people in the world to come that have a reward like Noah. You know, so it's not so much speaking about the quantity, it's speaking about the quality. That's what we're going to be judged by, the quality, the essence of what we did. That woman came just with an alabaster box. Yeah? Others could have given far more than that, but that's all that she had. That's all that had been committed into her hand at that time. And God had given her the resources for that, like we saw on Friday, just for that service. And when she saw the need and she saw there's something I can do for the body of Christ, I can wash his feet. She didn't look at what other people would do, or what other people were capable of doing. She looked, what can I do? And she realized there was an opportunity that she could do something. And she had in her possession just enough. The prophet says when she went and she got that money and she poured it out on the bed, it was just enough to buy that alabaster box. And then she came and she poured it all out for him. And though others criticized and said, what a waste, this could have been sold and given to the poor, friends. When you enter into that like vine service, when it's you abiding in the vine and you're drawing from the vine and you're bringing forth the fruits of the vine, you don't worry very much about what other people think about it. Because in the end of that story, it was just him and her. She wasn't paying attention to anybody else. She was at the feet of Jesus. Jesus wasn't even listening to the criticism of other people. He was just speaking to her. And you enter into that certain place, that holy of holies of service, that you know, this is what my Lord wants done. And you pour yourself out. You don't worry about what people are going to say. Don't worry if it's going to make you unpopular or not. You don't worry about whether people are going to pat you on the back. You don't worry about whether you're going to get any reward in this world. There's just something inside of you coming from your soul that you were predestined, you were ordained unto that. And it's just something, like we said on Friday, that wants to express itself from the soul, because you were ordained to express that thing. And you're expressing it not seeking a reward. She never came expecting any reward, that woman. But when Jesus now let her finish her work, and the prophet says sometimes he will allow you to, he will sit there quiet until you finish your work. And she might have been wondering, saying, you know, I have messed up his feet, all my tears and all of that. But at the end of it all, it came to his chance now to express what he thought. And he said, your sins, though they are many, are all forgiven you because of the greatness of your love. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Oh, friends, she wasn't looking for that. But there's no service that's done in that kind of a way, in that kind of a realm, that doesn't receive the divine blessing. In this world and in the world to come, you'll get your reward. That's the kind of work. And that's why, friends, in this age, when it's prosperity preaching, when it's the gospel that they preach in Pentecost and the charismatic church, there's no real gospel anymore. People are selfish. It's selfish religion. People go to church to see what they can get. That's not what it's supposed to be. You're supposed to come here to see what you can do for Him. This is the place to serve Him. That is what worship is. Worship isn't that you come and just, I want the song leader to crank me up. No. You should be coming to pour out your alabaster box. You should be saying, God's given this. The devil's been on my case the whole week. He's been trying to fight me all the time, but now's my time. Now's my time to express myself before Him. Now's my time in worship. Now's my time in the Word to express myself. Now's my opportunity to do something for Him, in appreciation for all that He does for me. And friends, that's what worship is. And that's why you can find one person can be sitting there and singing and thinking it's the most boring song worship since the foundation of the world. And the person next to them can be so in the Spirit. The tears can be coming down their face because of what their worship means to them. One's come to say, Lord, I want you to bless me. The other one's come to say, I want to bless you. I bless your name. And friends, that's the determining factor here of what's going to receive the blessing in this life or in the world to come. It's that kind of a service. And that's how we saw on Friday when Paul says, be not weary in well-doing. That kind of a service, you're going to have opposition. Amen. Satan's going to try to weigh you down. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to Mr. Skeptic and Mr. Critic. And you're going to find people saying this and that about your service. You're going to be misunderstood many times in that kind of a service. Because Satan hates that kind of service. Because that's fruit that remains that come from that kind of a service. That's like soul service. It's service that's coming from your soul. It's not just coming from your human spirit. This is coming from your soul. This is something that you ordained to bring forth. There's something inside of you like those Hebrew mothers when their wombs hadn't yet brought forth. They would cry like Rachel when she said, give me children, otherwise I'll die. Yeah? It was just that burden inside there, something of something needing to express itself because she was ordained unto that. Or to Hannah in the same kind of a feeling. There's just something in the soul of a believer. Because we ordained unto these works. There's something that wants to express itself. Amen. And it depends on your calling as to what it is that needs to be expressed. Amen. To some it's prayer. Some are given unto prayer. They can kneel by the side of a chair. They can close themselves in. And they can lay hold of the heavens. And they can stay there and make intercession on behalf of the sons and daughters of God. And maybe like we saw Daniel Nash. No, you may be a nothing in this world. Daniel Nash got nothing. He never left a book behind. His church that he used to be a pastor with before he failed being a pastor, it was long broken down. There's nothing in this world, just an old tombstone with the name Daniel Nash on it. But in heaven, on that great day, that man is going to have such a reward. Such a reward. But sometimes we're looking for the outward. We want to be the public expression of the body of Christ. Not realizing that Paul said, Peter said, no, James said, don't desire everyone to be teachers. Because you're going to receive a greater judgment on that day. We're going to stand before him and he's going to examine us far closer because of the opportunity he's given us to deal with other people. So he's going to search that service. He's going to search, why did you say those things? Why did you preach the things that you did? Were you preaching to be popular? Were you preaching so that people would pat you on the back? Or were you searching my mind? Were you searching my heart as to what you wanted me to show you what you should say? That's what it's going to be. The same as a song leader. You know, you don't lead songs because you want to be popular. You lead songs because you want to do him a service. And that's why before you come to that service, you try to seek him to say, what will please you? What is it that you desire to be expressed today? That's why, friends, it's not such an easy thing. But it's those ones behind the scenes. Those are the ones, if you're not careful, we can be weary and well-doing. And we can start saying, but you know, I'm putting all this effort in. I'm really committing myself. But it just doesn't seem there's much fruit coming forth now. Like we saw that Sunday school teacher on Friday, you know, to those who weren't yet, a true story of a soldier who was in the war. And he got shot and he was dying. And while he was dying, the chaplain came to him. And he said to the chaplain, he says, please, there's one thing I want you to do. Before I die, write a letter to my Sunday school teacher and tell her the reason that I'm saved is because of her. And that chaplain, the soldier passed away, and the chaplain wrote a letter, took the details, wrote the letter to the Sunday school teacher. Then he got the reply back, and the Sunday school teacher wrote back and said, it's an amazing thing. He said, just last month, I resigned from being the Sunday school teacher because I was so disappointed because I couldn't see the fruits in what I was doing. And now when I received the letter from that soldier, I'm going to go back. I repent before the Lord, and I'm going back to my pastor to ask him if I can be a Sunday school teacher once again. Because I've judged things before the time. You see, she was weary and well-doing. You don't need to be like that. We want to be abiding in the vine. So Jesus shows us now what is acceptable worship. He says, when you pray, don't pray like the Pharisees. Yeah? To be seen of men. They have their reward already. When you fast, don't appear before people to be fasting. But anoint yourself as normal. Consecrate yourself to the Lord, and your Father who sees in secret, He'll reward you openly. Those are the kind of fruits that will meet you. Those are the kind of fruits. And then he says, when you give alms, when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Don't do it to be seen of men. But if you keep it in secret, it's just a service between you and the Lord. That's when you're going to receive your reward. Beyond the resurrection. That's why, friends, it's good for us to look beyond the resurrection. It's good for us to look beyond the rapture. What are you going to be beyond the rapture? Now, to the believer, salvation's complete. If your soul has been sealed with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are sealed to the day of your redemption. That's finished. And why is it finished? Because concerning salvation, Christ was judged for us. He stood at the judgment seat. He was before Pilate's judgment seat. He was the authority in the land. He was stood before Caiaphas' judgment seat. So he took our judgment upon himself. He took the crown of thorns so that we can receive the crown of glory. Amen. So already he's paid the price. He's the one that's paid for these things. So concerning salvation, salvation is a free gift. There's nothing that a believer can do to merit salvation. Salvation, you are saved by grace. Yeah? Not by works. It's the grace of God that gives you salvation. So Paul, when he's speaking here, he's not trying to say that you need to merit anything concerning salvation. But he's speaking to those people that are already saved. And he's trying to motivate them to say, you people, don't just look to the rapture. That's good, but look beyond the rapture. Because there's the judgment seat of Christ. What are you going to bring? What are you going to present before your king on that day? Like that song says, will there be any stars in my crown? And will I have any stars in my crown that day? Because now's the opportunity that we store those things up. The prophet says in church ages, Smyrna and church age, all too little time is spent on laboring for the eternal rewards of God. The recompense of God is too lightly esteemed. We don't think of it enough. And that's why we just spend all our time in other things. You know, our labors, the best of our time, the best of our abilities, the best of our sacrifice should be for Him. Amen. Remember in Malachi chapter 1, when the priests were coming, yeah? And they were looking at the sacrifices they needed to offer to the Lord. And they were looking, they said, okay, this is a good one. Let's keep it for ourselves. But let's take this one of the blemish. Let's take this one that's blind in one eye. We won't be able to sell it, so let's give it to the Lord. And the Lord, the discerner, he saw that. And he said, oh, you priests. He said, would you give that to the governor for your tax? Would you take that kind of an offering that you're giving to me? Would you give it to Caesar, to the governor? He says, no, you wouldn't. He says, and I am a great king. So do I not deserve the best of your sacrifice? The best of your offering? Our friends, let's never give Him an inferior offering. Amen. Give the best of your time to the Lord. Amen. That's why He called you when you're young. That's why it says you must serve the Lord in the days of your youth. Amen. When you have vigor, when you have strength, when you can make a difference concerning the kingdom of God. When it doesn't mind if you sleep on somebody's sofa to go to do something for the Lord, or you sleep on the floor, it doesn't affect you in those kind of times. Or you don't get many hours of sleep because you're desiring to do something for the Lord. Friends, in those kind of times, take the best. Take the best of what you are. Take the best of what you've got. Take that alabaster box and pour it out before the Lord. Never make any other person your standard. Never look at somebody else and say, but you know, they don't come on such and such a day. What's that got to do with it? Amen. Just because somebody else doesn't come on a Friday or somebody else doesn't come on a Wednesday, what's that got to do with your worship before the Lord? This is between you and Him. Amen. You're going to stand before Him on that day, and He's going to search your heart. He's going to search your soul, and He wants to bestow blessing. And He'll be searching you for those genuine things. He'll be searching you for that offering that came from the vine. That offering that came from your soul. That offering where you poured something out for His glory. And those are the kind of things. That's why the martyrs will receive such a great reward. They receive the crown of life. Yeah. Be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive the crown of life. Because what greater act of service from the soul, if you think of it, that one there for you to go and lay down your life as a martyr. There's nothing of the flesh there, friends.
Amen.
There's nothing of self there. That's from the soul of a believer.
Amen.
And that's why that kind of a thing, a martyr in those ages of the ox anointing and so forth, they longed for an opportunity to die for their Lord. Because what greater act could somebody give? That's where these Muslims now, the perversion of the truth. That's where they fake it there when they think, let's blow ourselves up for Muhammad. You see, they get it from Samson when he pulled down the enemies and so forth. Then they get it from there. But that's not the essence of the gospel.
Amen.
You don't kill somebody else to win favor from the Lord.
Amen.
You lay your life down for them.
Amen.
That's what receives favor from the Lord.
Amen.
That's the New Testament. That's the real offering that he's looking for. Because in this covenant, it's not things of flesh and blood. We don't have a natural temple. You are the temple.
Amen.
We don't have a natural sacrifice. He is the sacrifice. You know, so that's wrestling that we do, that fighting, that jihad that we wage. It's against powers and principalities in heavenly places.
Amen.
We don't wage warfare on this level. And that's why the Lord looks not on the outward. He doesn't look at the physical thing that was done or the natural thing that was offered. But he looks into the heart.
Amen.
To see what was the essence behind that offering. Because he looks at the widow's mites and there's others bringing big bags of money. He doesn't pay attention to them.
Mm.
That's good, they will receive the reward. But maybe many of them wanted to be seen of men. Look at my big bag of money that I'm putting in the offering. But here came a woman with two little mites. And people might have despised her offering. But when she put those two little mites inside of there, it caught Jesus' attention.
Amen.
And he called his disciples and said, do you see this woman? She put in two mites, but that's all of her living. She gave, it seems small in the eyes of men, but it was all that she had. So it's great in the eyes of God.
Amen.
That was something that she would meet in the world to come. And the prophet says, Jesus never ran to her and says, no, please don't do that. He left her to give the offering because he had something in store for her. The same as Sister Hattie Wright when she wanted to give $50. To the building fund, and she was only earning whatever $250 a year profit on her farm. And the prophet says she pledged $50 to the trustees. And then they said, No, you can't give 50. And they took it down to 20, and she gave $20 to the building fund. And the prophet says, when I heard about it, I had $20 Mita gave me to buy some eggs. I had it in my pocket. I went to get the communion wine, and I was going to give it back to her. And when I was about to give it back, the Lord spoke to me and says, don't you do that. And he reminded me now of the widow's mites. And the Lord now revealed to him, leave it. Just like the widow, I have something for her down the way. And in this life, she saw the earnest, the down payment of the full reward. She saw her sons come into the kingdom. In the house that day.
Amen.
An earnest of them in the resurrection. Oh, friends, you can never offer an essence like that. A something from the soul. And to show it was from a heart, when the prophet was testifying of the squirrels, and maybe some of the others sitting there were saying, that sounds a bit far-fetched to us. The prophet says, she said it from her heart.
Amen.
She said, that's nothing but the truth. It was from her heart. It was something from down there in her union, her abiding in the vine. She offered a service from there. Whenever we offer a service like that, friends, it's always acceptable before him. It'll always bring forth the blessing in this life, and you've stored up treasures in heaven. You've stored up for yourself there. But now, Paul uses this as a motivation to the believers. It's a real motive. To the unbeliever to think of standing before the judgment, it's a fearful thing. Yeah? To stand before the living God. Because our God is a consuming fire. And to the hypocrite, yeah? To the hypocrites that come to church and they're living another kind of a life. They've got their own agenda. You know, they're living according to their own human program, their own selfishness. They're just trying to see what they can get out of the message. We've seen a lot of it in the message, friends. We've seen ministers have big works, but honestly, when it comes to that day, I just wonder how much reward they're going to have. Because it was all them. It was all for them and about them. Nothing for the glory of God in the end. And on that day when every man's work shall be made manifest, a lot of it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to pass away. But Paul was trying to motivate the believers to say, you saints. If you read where he speaks of that, he speaks of it in the same chapter that he speaks about the resurrection. Yeah? So he first uses the resurrection to say, saints, there's a resurrection coming. You know, what you're doing now, what you're sowing in this life, you're going to reap it in the next world. Then he moves on from there and says, and there's the judgment seat of Christ when rewards will be given. So he tries to motivate them to search themselves, to search their motives, to search their objectives, to search their priorities, to purge themselves now, so that on that day, all that they offer may be acceptable. That's why we need to judge ourselves now. The prophet says, this is our white throne judgment. Whenever we stand before the word, it's the judgment. The books are opened, yeah? And this is judgment. Judgment begins in the house of God. And the word comes as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it starts to search us out, and it starts to get close down to where we are if you're walking with the Lord. And he starts to show us that, hey, my friend, this is worthless. This work, this way you spend your time, it's worthless. This is worthless. This is going to perish when this world perishes. You're focusing on this, but this is going to pass away when time passes away. This is going to pass away with time. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Be sowing into the kingdom. Be helping to establish the kingdom. Let it be kingdom service. Coming from a soul that's crowned him Lord in his kingdom. And then give service from there. And friends, those kind of things, you're storing up. You're not doing it, like I say, for the motive of storing up. Just as much as with your children. When you ask your children to do something, your children will never come and say, okay, I'll do it for you if you do this, that, and the other. No, if you have the right relationship with your children, and you say, will you do this for me? That's good, Daddy. That's fine, I'll do that. Why? Because you do so much for them. Now you've asked them to do something. Now they find an opportunity to show appreciation in some way for what you've done for them. That's the way that it is for the Lord. He's done the great work for us. He stored up salvation. He shed his blood. He did everything for us. He sent the message of the hour. He searched you out. He saved you. He sanctified you. He filled you with his presence, with his glory. Yeah? And he leads you. He watches you. He shepherds you. He protects you day by day. And then when an opportunity comes to do him service, our friends, I reckon he's got every right to expect that it's going to be a soul service. It's going to be something that's poured out from the soul. And we don't always get those opportunities. Amen. That woman at the alabaster box, maybe it was the only opportunity she got in this life. But when he gives us opportunity, whatsoever you do, do it with all your might. Amen. The Bible says, whatsoever your hand findeth, do it with all your heart. Do it with all your might. So Paul's trying to really, really motivate them. And you know why? Because Paul, he went beyond the curtain of time. He was caught up into the third heaven. He saw right at the beginning of his ministry, because the Lord knew Paul needs to see this. God doesn't do these things to people without them needing that kind of a motivation. Because Paul, what does he say about himself? He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Jesus was whipped once, 39 lashes. Paul was beaten 5 times. 39 lashes. You think of that. How many people would still continue on being beaten once? How many people? So the Lord took Paul beyond into the third heaven. Showed him paradise. Showed him, Paul, what you do down there, it's being stored up here. Amen. Showing Paul, it doesn't matter. Don't look at things just down there. This is the reality. What you suffer for me there. Because friends, the reward for suffering for Christ's sake is great. Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven. He says, blessed are you when men persecute you. Blessed are you when men revile you and say all manner of evil against you on my sake. For so they did to the prophets. Great is your reward in heaven. So Paul had to go into that realm of substance where he was there himself and he saw the kingdom of reward. He saw. Who knows what he saw? He says, it's not lawful for a man to utter. He says, I can't tell you what I saw, but I saw unspeakable things when I was there. And the Lord was so motivating Paul to say, Paul, you're going to have to go through a lot. And unless I show you this, it's easy for you to be weary and well-doing. Paul says, thrice I was beaten with rods. 3 times, taken before the magistrate. Yeah? Tied around the pole, beaten with rods. One of them was when him and Silas were beaten with rods. And then taken down with bloody backs, put down in the dungeon, the stocks put on their feet. And what did they do? I bless your name. I bless your name. Friends, that was fruit coming from the soul. This wasn't mind worship. This wasn't human ego, selfishness in their worship. They weren't gaining anything for themselves at that time in what they were doing. But what they were doing was costing them a lot. That's real service. Amen. That's real worship. You and I might not be called to be imprisoned for Christ, although the way this world's going, some of us might be. Amen. The way they're passing the laws and all these kind of things. Friends, for us to be faithful to Christ, they might have to pay that price one day. He'll give us the grace if we have to. They might not be called to be beaten and to suffer and so forth in that kind of a way. But we're called for something. Amen. Your family will misunderstand you. Your brothers and sisters will misunderstand you. The people at work, the people at college, the people will say things against you. That suffering is for Christ's sake. And if you accept it, yeah, and you take it and you pour out your service in the midst of those kind of circumstances, it's very pleasing to the Lord. That's a real savor that comes up before the Lord, a sweet-smelling savor. When there's opposition, when now your name is dirt, when people are looking down on you and you still continue to worship Him. Amen. That's coming from the vine. Amen. That's someone who's abiding in the vine. Amen. And you're bringing forth fruits now that are going to remain. Those fruits will never pass away. He says, thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Who knows what he was? Holding on to a log or something. A night and a day. Having suffered shipwreck. In journeyings often. In perils of water. In perils of robbers. In perils by my own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness. And painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which comes unto me daily, the care of all the churches. I think we fail, saints, to realize sometimes what these men did for us.
Amen.
And we don't realize what it takes. Like you take Paul, you take the prophet. We fail to realize what they went through.
Amen.
The price they paid to bring us what we've got.
Amen.
Oh, sometimes we don't see it. The prophet, how many times has he said in the message, he says, you people, you will never understand in this world what I go through. You imagine the demon oppression. You imagine the demon persecution. Like he says, when I cast out those demons, I go back to my hotel room. They come and they follow me to haunt me there. He says, I feel them rubbing themselves against my flesh. You think it was easy? You think it was easy for him to leave, yeah? Months at a time, his young children at home, the prophet. You think it's easy? For a man to go months and months away living in a hotel room. And he never wanted the good hotels. He stayed in the cheap hotels. And he would go for months at a time. He says, when I first went out, I was so many months away from home. He says, my daughter, Rebecca, would cry on the phone to say, Daddy, when are you coming home? And he says, and then the mother would have to take her, and I'd hear her screaming in the background. He says, I've only seen her, what, 3 times since she was 3 months old, whatever it was. Now she was 9 months old. You tell me that doesn't receive a reward. And that's why you'll understand that day. In 1961, when he was at Clifton's cafeteria, yeah? And he preaches hard, and the Assemblies of God overseer gets up and says, I don't think Brother Branham meant that. And Branham says, I have to mean it. It's thus saith the Lord. And then Danny Henry comes in, because God is an encourager.
Amen.
God always has a son of encouragement, a Barnabas nearby.
Amen.
And here comes Danny Henry and says, Brother Branham, that could be the 23rd chapter of the book of Revelation. Would you mind if I pray for you? And then he lays his hands and he starts to pray and he speaks in French. And it's being recorded for television. And then there's that woman from Louisiana and there's Victor Ledoux. And they all say, that's French. And then Brother Sook, okay, write down what it says. And it's exactly the same. It says, because you have chosen the narrow path. The harder way. And it's my way. There's a huge portion of heaven that awaits you because of what you've decided.
Amen.
Oh, that's the encouragement the Lord had to keep giving to the prophet. Like we saw on Friday, why did the Lord take him beyond the curtain of time in 1960? Because what he was going to go through from there, it was very easy for him to become weary. People are going to forsake him. People are going to close their doors. 1962, present stage of the ministry, all doors are being closed. Like with Paul, Demas has forsaken me. At my first charge, no man stood with me. You think that's easy for a person? When a person's poured themselves out, like the prophet did, going place to place, yeah, praying for those sick people until he was exhausted. They had to sometimes pack him, carry him out of the building. And then to have those leaders now meet in their secret councils. Close the doors. People say all manner of evil against him. When the gun exploded in his hand, they reported he was trying to commit suicide. And all those kind of things. Friends, God has to give a person a motivation. So the Lord said, would you like to see beyond the curtain of time? And the prophet said, it will help me so much.
Amen.
It will help me so much. And then the Lord took him now and he saw what? The great harvest that was there. Because down here on earth when the prophet was looking, he couldn't see too many people that would encourage him at that time. So the Lord takes him up there and what do the people say? They take the prophet on their shoulders, yeah? And they carry him up to the top on a high place and they put him down. And they're saying, oh precious brother, we're so glad to see you here. If you hadn't have went, we wouldn't be here. Oh, friends, that was a motivation.
Amen.
Especially for a man who's given the commission, do the work of an evangelist. And then he sees millions of souls there waiting. That's a motivation.
Amen.
And that's how we need to spend fellowship with him.
Amen.
That's how we need to abide in the vine. That's how we need to stay close to him. That's how we all need at times to be a Barnabas, a son of consolation, to encourage, to strengthen. We need those kind of things. Because like the angel said to Elijah, said Elijah, arise and eat, because the journey is long. This journey is long sometimes, friends. We never thought we'd see beyond 2000. We thought when we were in the 80s, 90s, we thought 2000, it's finished. Shall we on 2016? The race is a lot longer than we thought. But what a blessing. More opportunity to store up treasure in heaven.
Amen.
More opportunity to bring forth those works that we were before ordained unto. More opportunity. And as the days get more evil, as the days get darker, as the press comes in, as the opportunity becomes less and less, our friends, we need to be pouring out our alabaster box. We need to be doing something for him. Never put off to next year. No, that if I finish my studies, then I'll do some. No, don't do that.
Amen.
Never have that kind of an attitude. But
Amen.
What's in your hand now?
Amen.
It may be small, it may seem insignificant, but if you just do it with all your heart, Our friends, see the way that you receive the blessing. Amen. That's why Paul had to be caught up. And he came down. And these great ministries, Paul, Moses, Brother Branham, the Exodus moves. Yeah, the Exodus messengers. Moses had to go 40 days. I think twice in the glory of God. Amen. And he saw the heavenly plan. He saw the reality of heaven, the tabernacle, worship and so forth. Why? Because when he's going to come down, he's going to be with a bunch of dunderheads. He's going to be with all these people in the wilderness saying, you should have left us in Egypt. There's no water, there's no food. But God had shown him a reality, friends. Amen. God had shown him, Moses, this isn't your work, this is my work. You are co-laborer with me in my work. He had to take him into that kind of a place. That's why the prophet went beyond the curtain of time. The prophet, imagine, he might have thought many times, that was hard. For the Lord to, when I disobeyed, for the Lord to take Sister Hope, to take my wife, to take away my child. But when he went beyond the curtain of time, he saw hope there.
Amen.
What a recompense, friends. Because when you give for Christ, even the things that we seem to lose in this life, in his cause, in his chastening, in his training, you never lose anything that's done for Christ. You can't lose it. That's why I said if you lose your life, you'll gain it in life eternal. You can't lose. The song says, even in losing, we gain. That's the principle of the kingdom of God. You give up something for Christ, wait and see. The prophet lost his nice, comfortable chair that he used to lie in. He couldn't meet the payments. And then he goes in the dream and he sees this. Sharon Rose says, Daddy, why don't you come and sit down for a while? Because this one's fully paid up.
Amen.
You don't lose things, friends.
Amen.
The things we lose are the things we do for ourselves. Right. The things that are done in selfishness.
Amen.
The things that are done to please ourselves. That's when we lose. Because once we get the little temporary reward in this life, it's passed away.
Amen.
But those things that are done for Him, they leave an imprint in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Footprints in the sands of time. And they meet you in the world to come. At the judgment seat of Christ. That's a serious thing. You know, the prophet, when he got to 1962 now, when the doors were being closed, the Lord had to encourage him again. What did he encourage him with? In the message, present stage of the ministry. He revealed to him the crowning time. The revelation of the crowning time, that any person who's ever stood true to Christ, though all people will leave you, though no matter what happens, but He'll crown your ministry.
Amen.
And that was such an encouragement to the prophet. And then the prophet went right back through the Bible and showed every single person, the young people who are doing it today, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they stood the test, when they were willing to pay the supreme price, when the opposition was there and the rest of the Hebrews were compromising and bowing down to the image, they weren't. They were going to offer themselves as a testimony to what they knew was true at the supreme price. And there came a crowning time. And then we saw the proclamation of the king. Let every person in my kingdom bow down and worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because he's the real God. He delivers from the fire. There's always a crowning time in this world and in the world to come. And the prophet in 62, when it seemed so hard, and people didn't want him anymore because he was now really in the spirit of Elijah. Yeah? He was preaching against Laodicea. The revelation comes. There's coming a crowning. Just wait. And a few months later, he receives the king's sword. He receives the commission of the seven angels. He receives the revelation of the seven seals. He says, the greatest thing that I desire is that God will allow me to clothe his bride in the robes of the word. And that's what he did. That was his crowning time in this life. But friends, there's still a crowning time coming for the prophet. When you'll stand there on that day and all of those personal sufferings and sorrows and all the things he bore and all those efforts and labors that many times he might have thought were fruitless, every one of them is going to meet him there. And imagine the reward. And that reward he's going to receive is going to be an eternal reward. You keep that for eternity. Some are going to get into eternal life and have no reward. They just got, which is wonderful, eternal life. But friends, there's going to be people there that have such reward. Whatever that reward is, who knows what it is? Maybe some will have their mansions right close to the throne. Yeah. Others will be right on the edge of the city, just by the gate. You just made it in. But others will be in the place of power. What about the disciples when they asked Jesus, but Lord, you know, we've given up everything for you. What shall we receive? He says, do you not know in the regeneration, in the kingdom to come, you will sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, friends, what a position. Having followed their rejected king, having been true to their David, the son of David, they received their reward in the world to come, an eternal reward. And they might have thought many times, but hey, this was tough. But when they get to the new city, what's written above the gates? Yeah? What's written in the foundation stones? The names of the 12 disciples of the Lamb. Right in the foundation of the city. An eternal city, and their names are written in the foundation. You think God forgets? It's one thing God can't do. The only thing He forgets is your sins. Because He paid the price. But your works that you do for Him, He can never forget. They are eternal as He is eternal, because they came from the vine. They're the fruits of the vine that you ordained to bring forth for His glory. So we need this motivation, friends. We need to be thinking of the judgment seat. No, when your knees are, your hands are hanging down, you know, your knees, your legs are getting weary. That's why Paul says, gird up your loins. Look to the end of this journey. No. Paul says, that day shall declare it. Listen what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read the scripture and then we'll get on to the main thought as we finish. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the scripture saying, let's read from verse 12. 1 Corinthians 3, it says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. So, the judgment seat of Christ, it's the time when your work is manifest. As to what manner of work it is. And those hidden works will be manifest. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And, verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. So it's the judgment of works. It's not the judgment of your sins. It's the judgment of works. So the prophet speaks about, if you wanted to offer something, yeah, the characteristics of a pleasing offering. If you want to have a look and see, but what really would be the characteristics for me to offer something of eternal lasting value? The prophet gives us some good indications of that. And the first thing is the prophet speaks to us about what a model servant is. And he takes Eliezer and says Eliezer of Damascus was the model servant in the Bible. So he's the model. He's the pattern. He's the one that God raises up before others so we can see. But you know, I want to make sure that my service, let me just discern myself in the mirror of the word. And he takes Eliezer. Listen to what he says in time of decision about Eliezer. He says, Abraham came to the time that he had to make a decision on whom he would send to select his bride for Isaac. And he looked over all of his servants. And we learn in here a beautiful lesson of Abraham, a type of God the Father, hunting for a servant to go find a bride for his son. That's what the Father's doing today. So Abraham, the discerning power of the word, he searched right through all of his servants. And there were certain characteristics he was looking for this capstone ministry. That's what he was looking for. And he says, and he decided that Eliezer was the selected one. Because he found Eliezer trustworthy. Okay? He says, that's the kind of servant. Do you remember my sermon the last time I was here on the selecting or the placing of a son? This was Eliezer's adoption. He had proved himself. He had proved himself faithful, trustworthy, and all those things. Now it was his adoption. And Eliezer met the requirements. Eliezer represents the model servant. The first thing, Genesis 24. He did not go until he was sent. He didn't do it because he wanted to do it himself so that people could see what he was doing. You'll find with Eliezer here, if you go and read Genesis chapter 24, it never mentions the name Eliezer. That shows that it was soul service. It wasn't his human spirit, his ego trying to show himself. His name is not mentioned once. Being the model servant, yeah? Being a type of the prophet in this age as well, Eliezer. His name isn't even in the picture. Because it's not about him. And friends, it's not about you and me. It's about him. It's about his service. And if we wanted to offer real service, the more we can get ourselves out of the picture. The more that it's not me and look at my work and I do this and I do that, friends. That'll be burnt up with the wood, hay, and the stubble. That kind of work. But Eliezer, the prophet says, he says there's many goes just for what money they can get out of it. That day will prove what sort of work that it was. You will see somebody doing something and you'll say, that person's really doing that for the Lord, but you don't realize all they're doing it for is for money. But it's hidden because they'll cloak it in all kind of religion. And they'll be anointed and it'll be blessed, the things that they're doing, because that's the way that God operates. Amen. But on that day, all things will be made manifest. Amen. He says, others go to make a great name for themselves. Others go to be popular. Or because of some man-made regime that sends them. But there's some that'll wait until God sends them. So when it's your season and your time, like the woman with the alabaster box, and you'll discern inside of your soul, you know, he's given me an opportunity. He's opened up the way. Now is my opportunity to do service for him. That's a model servant. You don't run ahead of God. You don't try to put yourself in the picture. Don't try to put your own program. Don't try to get your will done. But you wait for the revelation of his will. You make yourself available. The prophet says many times you run ahead of God. He says what we should be doing is making ourselves available and saying, Lord, I want to do something pleasing to you. And wait for him to open the way so that he opens it for you. The prophet says, notice the next thing. He only went where he was sent to. And when he got to the place that his message was to be given, he never boasted on himself. But he only spoke of his master and of his master's wealth. And that his master had a son that was going to fall heir to everything the master had. What a beautiful picture of a real servant of God. Ah, friends, that's the kind of fruit that you want. And now you look at the prophet. I find it such a powerful thing. That the prophet, even when the prophet would be speaking of himself and all the things he saw the Lord do, he's not speaking of himself. He'll be saying, let me tell you, when I went to such and such a place and there was this person and they went in a wheelchair and then the vision came and the Lord says, pray for them, speak to them. They came out of the wheelchair. The way the prophet does it, the Spirit does it, you'll never think the prophet's taking glory to himself. He's using those things to stir us up as to what Christ can do. He's speaking of the master and the master's wealth and what the master's gifts can do. And that's the most powerful thing I saw the prophet right to the end of his ministry. Amen. He can take a whole message, a guide speaking of himself, but it's not about himself. Amen. There's no self in the message. Amen. There's no essence of self behind what he's doing. Because his motive is to show people he's the guy. Amen. You take all of the messages, you'll find it. That is an outstanding characteristic in the prophet. That's why this message attracts the bride. Because it's such a reflection of Christ in the message. Such a reflection of Christ in the messenger. Because Jesus, when he came, when he was a man, did he make himself something? People wanted to make him a king. He never even accepted it. People wanted to say, they said, good master. He says, look, there's no man good but God. All the different things. People would say, blessed are the breasts, yeah, that bore you, that you sucked. He says, no, blessed are they that keep the commandments. See the way Jesus would always speak. So he was God. But the essence of his servant, because he was the suffering servant. He was the servant of Isaiah 52, Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. He came to serve. And he was the perfect expression of service. And that is why now he's been given a name above every other name. That he has to look down to see heaven. God has so highly exalted him because that kind of service. That's why the voice would continually come from heaven. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Shayim. Oh, friends. Because he did nothing until his father showed him first. He never spoke in his own authority. Yeah? It was never self. It was never Jesus the man getting in the way of Melchizedek that was in him. He was just somebody who got out of the way. The prophet says that's a picture of a real servant of God. So friends, let me bring it close to home now. Let's think about this. If you think about this kind of service, if you're a Sunday school teacher, where does a real blessing come in? It's when you prepare. Yeah. It's when you lay yourself before the Lord. Maybe you're busy. Maybe you're a mother. Maybe you're busy. You're a Sunday school superintendent. You've got work. You've got your family. But you find a choice time. It might not be a lot of time that you have. But you're just looking for an opportunity because you know Sunday school tomorrow. And I want to do a service for my King. Friends, there's nothing worse than when you just quickly at the end, you rush and, oh, no, hey, I've got to do that. I almost forgotten. Now you come and you're searching for something. Do you feel blessed doing it that way? You can't. Because that's wood, hay, and stubble. That's going to be burnt up. But when your soul is in it, when you're looking at it and you're saying, but these are lambs. Jesus said, Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. Amen. This is a way I can express my love to the great shepherd. And that you might only not have a lot of time, but even if you just spend that little bit of time and you pour out your soul before the Lord. Amen. And you say, Lord, I want my service that I'm going to offer there to those Sunday school children to be pleasing to you. Amen. And then you take your Bible, you take whatever the lesson is and whatever opportunity, maybe you have to do it between other things if you've got a busy life as a mother. But your heart is in it. You're thinking about it. When now you're ironing, you think about it. You got the script. You put on something you're listening to. You want to get the right essence in what you do. You want it not just to be a lesson, but you want it to be something that because you are abiding in the vine. This is now fruit that's coming from the vine. That's fruit that's going to remain. That's fruit that brings forth a young man dying in the war and saying, it was your Sunday school lesson that led me to Christ. That's the kind of thing. Like I'm saying, you may not have much opportunity, but whatever you have, you might not have the 5 talents. Maybe you've only got the one. You've only got the one little bit of time opportunity, but use it faithfully. You still get a great reward. That's why the prophet says, everybody that has a ministry, Paul said it in the scripture, let them wait on their ministry. Because you can't offer an acceptable sacrifice, acceptable service, without waiting on your ministry first. The musicians have to wait on their ministry. You can't rush from home and so busy and rush in and then try to think you're going to really, really have something that's going to bring a real blessing down. No matter what sacrifice it is that has to be made, no matter what it is that you have to do, the supreme thing is the service of the King. Amen. This is the most important thing. You know, people will try to pull you this way and that. The prophet says, people complain about me saying I'm an isolationist. He says, but I have to be like that in order to bring something to help you. He says, I can't be out there running around from pillar to post doing this and that, and then all of a sudden decide to come and be in that kind of a condition to be of service to his people. He says, everybody that has a ministry, wait on your ministry.
Amen.
And Jesus said, if you abide in me, yeah, and my words abide in you, that's when you're going to bring forth excellent fruit.
Amen.
That's when you're going to bring forth fruit that remains. Fruit that has the fragrance of his heavenly blessing upon it. Not only when you do it, but there's a lingering blessing like the alabaster box. Because when she poured it out, the house smelt with that fragrance for days.
Amen.
Jesus smelt with that fragrance for days. And she smelt with that fragrance for days.
Amen.
That essence, that's something that's acceptable, that lingers. That when the Sunday school lesson's done, there's a lingering something in the hearts of those young people. There's a something that speaks deep from the soul because it's coming from the heart. It's coming from your soul. It's going to minister to their soul. But when something comes from my mind, it's going to go to your mind. That's all that it's going to be. But if I can come and bring something from my heart, it might be so simple. But it's, you're not going to forget it. It's going to do something inside of your heart if you're a genuine person. It's a heart to heart. It's a soul service. That's what's required to bring forth this fruit. Let's never. Sometimes time lets us down. Sometimes there is too much pressure. But friends, if you know there's something to be done for the Lord, you know, the song leaders, they know it. If Brother Vlad knows he's going to be doing Wednesday, you know, he starts on Monday preparing. That's how it works. You never wait for Wednesday. If Brother Max is going to be preaching on Wednesday, I'm sure in his mind already, he's thinking about what he's going to preach on Wednesday. He's already praying and looking ahead because he doesn't want this just to be wood, hay, and stubble.
Amen.
He wants this to be something that's going to stand the fire.
Amen.
Something that's going to be a genuine essence of a service that's going to last and it's going to bring forth predestined, ordained fruit that he's ordained to bring forth. There's a price to be paid. To bring something acceptable, those three wise men, when they came, the Magi, it was a great price.
Amen.
It was a great journey. It was a dangerous journey. They brought something which identified Christ in their day. And that's why God recorded it in his word. That's maybe the only thing they ever did for the Lord. Maybe they went back and just testified for the rest of their lives that we saw him in the manger. Maybe they never heard that he died for their sins. Maybe they never heard anything more where they came. Who knows what happened to them? But it doesn't matter. Because in that predestined season of time, when they had an opportunity to do something for him, look at what they did.
Amen.
They poured it out. They did everything they could. They went beyond what a person could be expected to do. Because Christ, friends, went far beyond what anybody would expect someone to do for us. That's the way that our service is. And then once you offer that service, maybe you have to go back to your normal life and you just live your life and you do your ironing and you do your washing and you go to your college. But then an opportunity comes up once again. Pour out your soul. Pour out the alabaster box. Do it with all your heart. And the only way you can do it is by getting yourself in the spirit of it first. By getting yourself in fellowship with the vine. That's a real adoption principle. Now, I'll read a few quotes as we close. There's different things we can do as well. Sometimes we can support somebody else. We forget that supporting somebody else when they serve the Lord, we get a reward as well. In tested faith produces goods, the prophet says, pastors, teachers, not some kind of seminary sets you in order, but God puts you there as a pastor or a teacher. That's the difference. It says you might have went out for money if the seminary sent you, but you went out for God. Now the prophet here, he's speaking to these old ministers. Yeah, these old Pentecostal ministers that were there at Azusa Street, were there in the 20s and 30s. Those ones who bore the hard time. And the prophet comes and he gets in the spirit and he starts to encourage them because he's going to show them, don't think that your labor is in vain. You may see me coming now and see the great crowds and see the great manifestation of God. And you might think to say, but hey, we labored and worked and never saw anything like that. He says, you went out for God. You went out for the good of the church and the glory of God. That was their motive. You had to drink branch water and eat soda crackers. Didn't make any difference to you. You preached just the same. Criticized or not, popular or not popular, made no difference. You go anyhow. God bless those men. Many of them sitting here tonight, warriors. That's paved the road that I'm running over freely. They came and cut down the trees. They came and took out the roots. They came and paved the road. It was hard work. It was thankless work. There weren't many people patted them on the back. And then the prophet came now on a paved road. It was easy for him. He could now focus on the things that he needed to focus on. Amen. You stood on the street corners and preached and prophesied and said that it was coming. And here it is. You're the ones that made the road. You're the ones who laid the foundation, brethren. Wait until the rewards is given out and see who gets the rewards. It's you, men. Amen. Oh, friend, that's a wonderful principle. Amen. It's not the outward. It's not the apparent blessing. It's not the one. Paul says the same thing. It says one plants, another waters, yeah? But it's God who gives the increase. Amen. And the one who plants gets just as much reward as the one who harvests at the end. But which is harder work? Which is the thankless work? When you're sweating in the sun and you're breaking up those clods of soil, you're breaking up that hardened fallow ground. Then you're sowing that seed and you're sweating there, yeah? And you come from there and say, but hey, this is tough. You don't see any results just then. And maybe you're not the one to receive the harvest of that crop. But God blesses that seed. That seed comes up one day, comes to its maturity. Then somebody else comes and then plucks their ears. That's how God assesses things. God doesn't forget. And some of those ministries are the most vital ministries. The prophet says, people say, Brother Ram, how can you keep going the way that you are? How can you go meeting after meeting after meeting? He says, I'll come and show you where the power is. And then he says, it's these brothers here. Brother Leo, Brother Gene and them, he says, they'll be fasting and praying, laying on their faces in prayer. When I'm in those meetings, if it wasn't for them, I'd go down. And God will reward it, friends. Those Daniel Nash kind of ministries. That's a powerful ministry. Unsung heroes. But to God, they're warriors, the prophet says. He calls them warriors. Remember the story we said about those group, true story, those group of American Christians in the 1800s. They went to Spurgeon's tabernacle. They got to the door. And there was this old man with his great beard standing there. And he greeted them. And they said, oh yeah, we know we came. It's the first time we've been here. And then the old man says, do you want me to really show you where the power of this church is? And he took that group of American believers down the stairs, down into the basement to the boiler room. And there were hundreds of people, hundreds of believers on their faces before the service. And then he said, this is where the power of the church is. And then he introduced himself, he was Spurgeon. And they came to see the great Spurgeon. And Spurgeon took them down and said, let me show you where the power really comes from. Let me show you great people. But these are people that people would never have recognized were great, but they're great in heaven. Amen. Jesus said, if you pray in secret, your Father will reward you openly. Amen. They're great in heaven. He says, an unchangeable word of God. He says, I asked the boys as I came in, the ushers. They were counting the evening offering. And I asked them so I'd know for sure if there were sufficient funds to pay all the bills. The prophet wanted to make sure that the expenses were paid. And they said there was. So thank you very kindly for your support. And they said that there was enough left. They put a love offering for the foreign missions. God bless you for that. Someday you may not see it here. But someday in the other land, you will find out if God helps me to get back overseas, them souls that are saved will be credited to you. If you gave from your heart, if you contributed from your heart, and then God blesses what's done with that money to run His things, you'll be credited. He says, maybe you're not called to go, but you can help somebody is called to go. And together, the rewards will be shared in glory.
Amen.
And on that day, all things will be made manifest. That's the way that God is going to bless. That's why, in conclusion, Paul says in Corinthians, therefore, judge nothing before the time. Don't judge anything too quickly. That day will declare it. Don't judge your situation now and say, I don't think God really sees what I'm doing. Friends, God sees everything that you do.
Amen.
It says, even the hairs on your head are numbered. Even the hairs on your head. Everything he notices, but he may wait until the end of the journey to give you the full reward. Now, a warning. How will we be judged on that day at the judgment seat of Christ? By the same measure we judged other people. That's what you've got to be careful about. If you're going to judge somebody else's service, what did Jesus say in Matthew 7? Judge not that you be not judged. For with whatever you judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And whatever measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. So you can lose reward by not rejoicing in the labor of somebody else. If you've got a critical spirit, if you've got a judgmental spirit, you're robbing yourself of reward. But if you can enter in when somebody else is being blessed, when God is blessing somebody else's labor and you can rejoice, yeah, and you can have a liberal attitude, and you can pray for that.
Amen.
When you meet him on that day, that's taken into account. That's taken into account. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, let's read this one as we read two scriptures as we close. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. So Paul is trying to say to us, run that you may obtain the prize. Have the right attitude. Have the right essence. Do it in the right spirit. When the opportunity is there, run. Run. That you may obtain the prize. Run. There's a prize to be obtained. Don't do it just for that. But don't neglect that. That's a secondary motivation. The greatest motivation is because you want to do it for Jesus. The secondary one is that God himself encourages us through rewards. It says in verse 25, and every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. He's speaking of the Olympic Games, yeah? Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You see these guys, yeah? Usain Bolt. As is his name, so is he. Bolt. Yeah, Usain Bolt. You see the sacrifice they make to obtain the crown. Look at the diet they eat. They won't eat certain things. They don't just go out and go and get a Big Mac and a Pepsi after they've been on the training session. They can't eat those things for years. Those swimmers, they get up 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. Those swimmers that won their medals for United Kingdom. They were showing they get up, they're in the pool at 6, up to 8. Then they go to college. Then they come back later in the day, another 2 hours in the pool. They come back and leave another 2 hours in the pool. Then they go home and they sleep. For years. For years. Why? To obtain the prize. To obtain a crown, a gold medal, a silver medal, a bronze medal. That'll pass away in the fires of Armageddon. Or that'll be forgotten in 2 or 3 years' time that you ever even achieve that. But friends, we're not serving someone like that.
Amen.
When you're getting up early in the morning and you're on your knees and you're praying for the church of God, you're praying for your children, you're praying for the brothers and sisters. That's eternal what you're doing.
Amen.
That's something that's going to meet you one day. When you're getting up early in the morning and you're laboring and you're preparing for whatever it is that God wants you to do, has called you to do. That's what Paul is comparing it to. He says, look at these athletes. Look at them. And look, it's just for corruptible crown. What about us? What about us with the king that we serve? With what he's done, how he went before us, what he's reserved in store for us? He says, let us run. He says in verse 26, I therefore, speaking of himself, so run. He says, I'm not asking you to do something that I don't do. He says, that's how I run. He says, I've been in the third heaven. He says, I know the reality of the world to come. I know the reality of the kingdom. I know that anything I store in the kingdom, now it's going to meet me there. That's why I run the way that I do. I so run. Not as uncertainly, not doubting. Yeah? One foot in and one foot out. No, if you're going to run for the Lord, run. Others don't run at all. Just run. Do it with all your heart. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. You don't want to be a boxer using your energy and you're not even hitting the prize. You're not even hitting the opponent. You want to do it efficiently and you need to be abiding in the vine. You need to be in the spirit, so the labor, the limited time that you have, limited opportunity that you have, that when you use that opportunity, you do it with all your heart. So that when you punch, there's a punch. That you're not doing it uncertainly. Verse 27. But I keep under my body. His self, his flesh. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I've preached to others, I should be a castaway. That literally means I should be disqualified. He's not speaking of his salvation. Saying I can preach to others and they can get the inheritance, yeah? And me, when I get there, I'm disqualified. Because it was the flesh. Because I didn't keep myself subject. That's why Paul, he would buffet himself. That's why Paul, he would discipline himself. And that's why the Lord had to put the problem in his eyes to keep him humble. Because he was so effective, he was storing up such treasure. A huge portion of heaven was going to await this man. God couldn't afford to let this man get in the flesh. He was too important a man. And friends, we're his bride. The time is limited. Jesus said, I must work while it is yet day. For night comes when no man can work. Don't put it off, friends. Don't put off your service to the king. Don't say, well, I'll wait till I'm married. I'll wait till I'm out of college. I'll wait until... No, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You're robbing yourself. You're robbing the kingdom. Don't do that. Do it with all of your heart. Hebrews 6 verse 10. Hebrews 6 verse 10. Paul now is exhorting the believers again. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Can you see what it was? It was a labor of love. Which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and you minister. You might just be given to hospitality. You wash the feet of the saints in your house. You might be have a gift of hospitality like that. New people come to church, you invite them, you encourage them along the way. You might be somebody, when somebody receives the Lord, you go and visit them and strengthen them in the things of the kingdom. You know, one man sows, another one reaps. There's different things that take place in the process, in the cycle. God is not unrighteous too. You'll never forget that. Because it's a labor of love. It's done in his service. It's done for his people. Revelation 3 verse 11. What did Jesus say? Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. That no man take your crown. Don't let somebody else take your crown. That you feel, no, 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 let somebody else do it. And then somebody else has to come and do what you should have done. That God gave you the privilege, he gave you the blessing, he gave you the opportunity. And then you allow somebody else to come and take your crown. Jesus is warning, let no man take your crown. The prophet in the church ages, we read it, I'll read it again. All too little time is spent laboring for the eternal rewards of God. The recompense of God is too lightly esteemed. If we believe in the reality of the resurrection of the body, which we do, and the eternal kingdom of substance, it's a real eternal kingdom we're going to, then we ought to lay up in heaven those good treasures that are available to the faithful saints. Not to gifted, not to whatever, but to anybody who's faithful. Because we are his workmanship, ordained in Christ Jesus unto good works that were before ordained to walk in. So friends, whatever your hand finds today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the opportunity, the door will open. He says, I am the one who opens doors that no man can shut. Do it with all your heart. Amen. Prepare yourself. Wait upon the Lord. Draw from the vine. Abide in him. Bring forth something which is excellent. Something at last you might look outwardly, it might look like, it's a nothing. But if it's done in love, if it's done from the soul, if it's done with the right essence behind it, it'll always bring forth of its own kind. You may not see it now, but it'll meet you down the way. You'll cast your bread on the waters. You will find it after many days. It's the principle of the kingdom. That's why be not weary in well-doing. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap. Let's not be weary, saints. Let's push on. The end is far closer now than when we first believed. That's what the Bible says. The opportunity is to do service, do something for him every single day. It's another day that's ticked off. That day will never come back again. That's why let's redeem the time, for the days are evil. Let's stand. Amen. Amen. Let's redeem the time. Jesus said, I must work while it is yet day. It was the days of the Son of Man like now. For night cometh when no man can work. Let's sing that song, We Shall Wear a Crown. Amen. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Thank you. crowns are there? There's the crown of life. There's the crown of glory it speaks about. There's the crown of righteousness. And there's one that you should never forget. The soul winner's crown.
Amen.
That's a blessed crown. That says there shall be a star shining in your crown. Star, they shall shine as the stars of heaven forever. Let's never forget that one, saints. Let's be soul winners. Let's sing one more. Let's come to pray. Let's sing the song. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? But there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me.
The cross alone and
about the cross, and it speaks about the crown. One always comes before the other. When you take up your cross and you follow him, you're on your way to the crown. Is anybody here today that wants to join this great army? This army which is fighting for our rejected king in a world and in an age. Friends, how they disrespect the Bible. How they disrespect the name of Jesus. But Jesus has a people that is called. And they will bring forth fruit. And that fruit will be excellent. And that fruit inside of your life, maybe through striving, maybe through giving, whatsoever it is inside of your life, you'll reflect him. You'll be a true reflection to show the truth of who he is in this age. So anybody wants to join today, who wants to accept Christ, to say, Jesus, I want to enlist upon this day. I want to cast my lot in with you. I don't mind what people say. I don't mind what people think, because the only thing that really matters in the end is what you think and what you say. Why don't you raise your hand to the Lord and say, Jesus, I accept you today. I accept you. I accept my cross. I accept your blood. I accept the path that you've ordained for me to walk. Just be glorified inside of my life, Lord. Though the way may sometimes be hard, but you said that there were only, you'd always be with me. Sometimes there's only one set of footprints in the sand. My child, that's when I carried you. That's what you'll do. Whatever you desire before the Lord, let's speak to him a little bit before we go. Why not pour out your soul? The praying for from your mind is not going to make any difference. What is your heart saying? Why not say that to Him? Let's pray from the heart before we leave today. Let's call upon His name in Jesus' name. Father, bring Him my son. Ask Brother Vlad if you'd be kind enough to pray for us, brother. Yes, Brother Vlad. God bless. Let's keep our heads bowed, saints. If you have a desire in your heart, just lift it up before the Lord in your soul, and the Lord sees your desire.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful at the end of this service. Lord, I remember that story about that small girl. She was in crowd when somebody big was passing in this world,
yes,
king,
Lord.
And she was waving to him, but king didn't see her.
Amen.
But Lord, like your word was preached today, you are judging by our intentions, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Whatever small we do, even just giving cup of water, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
You give blessed reward, O Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
O Lord, forgive our sins, trespasses, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, help us when we can't overcome ourselves, when we do things, just maybe that it will be visible, O Lord.
Amen.
Help us to be like that engine under, O Lord, what is
Amen.
Not visible, Lord.
Amen.
Help us.
Amen.
To focus more on those things. Give
yes,
us
Lord.
More revelation, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
What we should do, how we should subject ourselves, and whatever we do, that we do for your glory, O Lord.
Amen. Yes,
bless
Lord.
Our pastor, O Lord.
Yes,
bless
Lord.
Our offices in church, O Lord. Many
Amen.
Things are not
yes,
visible,
Lord.
But Lord, we are so thankful because you are faithful, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, help us.
Amen.
Many times we fail here and there, O Lord, under
yes.
pressure, whatever it is, O
Amen.
Lord.
Yes,
help
Lord.
Our families, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, O Lord. We need you, O Lord.
Amen.
We need you every hour, every
Amen.
Minute, O
yes,
Lord,
Lord,
whatever we
yes,
do,
yes,
O Lord, help us, O Lord, because we are just like sheep, O Lord. They need O Lord, Shepherd, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
We want to just say this morning, O Lord, we need you, great Shepherd,
yes,
O Lord.
Lord.
Because we can't see even further, O Lord. But, O Lord, if you just help us to see,
yes, Lord.
O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to be faithful in this small our church congregation.
Yes,
in
Lord.
Small things. We see sometimes, O Lord, even brothers, they're posting that... maybe we didn't just contribute even for church rent, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord,
yes,
even
Lord.
Those things are
yes,
are
Lord.
Very important, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord,
yes.
you speak to our hearts.
Amen.
That
Amen.
People will be encouraged to serve you, O Lord, especially our children. That
Amen.
We are faithful, O Lord.
Amen.
That you are alive, O Lord. Oh, help us, O Lord. Help us to support what we can, O Lord. Not visible things, O Lord, those
yes.
invisible things, O Lord,
Hallelujah.
That will bring, like your word says, O Lord, when we pray, close yourself somewhere in closet.
Yes, Lord,
and
yes.
those things what Heavenly Father see, He will reveal, O Lord.
Amen.
Help us to focus
Amen.
On those things. Help us, O Lord. You lift us, O Lord. You lift our pastor, O Lord.
Praise
you
Lord.
Provide for
Hallelujah.
His needs. You Amen. Provide for servants in this church, for
Praise
deacons,
Lord.
Whatever it is,
Amen.
O Lord. Help us. You encourage us through
yes.
your way, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
O Lord, we ask
yes,
you
Lord.
for your help, for your strength.
Yes.
Whatever we need, because you know what the future ahead of us. Oh Lord.
Amen.
Bless Amen. Services, Friday, Sunday, Saturday, when we are weak and many thoughts are coming.
Oh
Lord, help us to overcome.
Amen.
To come that we will be serving you, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
That we come that we will be singing for you, O Lord.
Yes,
that
Lord.
We will do things not for people, O Lord. Help us to overcome our thoughts, our bodies, whatever it is, O Lord.
Yes,
for
Lord.
Your glory we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's come into worship. Let's keep the meetings next weekend in prayer. Brother Crosby coming. I'm sure it'll be a blessing. If you have a need, come expecting. And I do believe the Lord will glorify His name as He always does. Pray for us as we fly on Friday, come back Sunday night. Busy weekend. May the Lord help us in Poland. Be with Brother Greg. Be with us, please, in prayer. Amen.
Sing the song, because you've chosen the narrow path.
Because you have chosen the narrow path, the hardest way, there's a great portion of heaven is waiting for you. Of what you decided, oh, that was the prophecy. Divine.
have to cross Jordan alone. Amen. To